Praise the Lord. I am glad to be here tonight. I'm also thankful that we have our God. We know He is coming soon. We are seeing all these signs. And if we ever needed to be serious, if we ever needed to turn our eyes upon God, it's right now, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise our God. I do want to go before the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. And I know there's so many things to pray about. Oh my, you know, the list goes on. But our God is so capable. He has all power and He knows how to help us. He is here to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again that we can come here together. We thank you for your word that is given to us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the pages, oh, Lord, that have been written, oh, Lord, hand-penned, oh, Lord, because, oh, Lord, there was a need. And, oh, Lord, we have need here tonight. We have need of thee, Lord God. Oh, Lord, to draw ever closer to thee. Oh, God, to be faithful, Lord. Oh, God, to stand fast in this hour, oh, Lord, when things are going so crazy. Oh, Lord, when thy coming is at hand. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, that you talk to us, that you move in us, that you fill us mightily with the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord, that thy presence would come down, that you would meet every need, Lord. Oh, God, for we come before thee right now. I pray that your presence would come down, Lord Jesus, thy touch. Oh, God, that you'd move here tonight, Lord, for we need you, Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you, God, that we can draw nigh to thee and know that thou will draw nigh unto us. And, God, we do bring, oh, Lord, even more needs before thee, God. Oh, Lord, I just pray that you would help Greg and Deb, Lord, Deb, who lost her father early today. Oh, God, I pray that you would comfort them and lead them and help them, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you that you use them, God. And I just pray, oh, Lord, that you continue to give them strength that comes from thee. Give them comfort, oh, Lord. Help those that mourn, Lord. Oh, God, be there, Lord Jesus, to meet their needs, Lord. Oh, God, to guide them, to direct them with all they have to do, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you give them wisdom. Oh, Lord, most of all, that you be there with them. And, oh, Lord, help them to sense thy presence in a very real and wonderful way, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I pray for Sharon, too. Lord, I pray, oh, God, if her neck is still troubling her, Lord, oh, God, that you'd reach down from heaven and touch her neck, Lord. I pray that you'd move it properly. God, oh, Lord, we come to you, Jesus, for you are able, oh, God, to meet every need. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. I pray that you would move in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you touch in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray that you'd help Sister Pauline's friend, Nancy, Lord. If that dear woman is still alive, I pray that you talk to her heart and comfort her. Move in her, Lord Jesus, let thy presence be felt. Oh, God, for you know every need, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you are with us, God, no matter what stage of life we're at, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, you know how to help us regardless of what the need in particular is. God, I pray that you'd help them, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help the kids see. Oh, Lord, that you touch her afresh, Lord, that you'd move, Lord, that you give her hope, oh, Lord, that you give her faith, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd meet her need, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, for you know how to fix us. You made us, Lord. You know how to fix us, God, and we give these things to you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help Don's friend, too, the one who lost his wife recently. I pray, oh, God, that you'd help this elderly man, Lord Jesus, that you comfort him, that, oh, Lord, he would reach out and touch you, Lord Jesus, that he would find you, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd move in his being. Oh, God, we need you, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you would touch hearts, Lord. You know every need. Oh, God, wherever we are and whatever we're doing, God, you know our loved ones. Oh, God, you know every situation, Lord. And I pray that you would move here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you'd help that dear woman, Mercy, that I prayed with the other day, Lord, that you would help her also, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that you work in a mighty way, Lord, for you know every need. And oh, God, these things, these petitions we bring before thee, Lord, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, be here, Lord. Oh, reach, help us to reach thy throne, Lord God. Let our cries be heard, oh Lord, from thee, oh Lord. Oh God, you know every situation. Be here, Lord, to help us. Oh, to edify us, oh God, to give us greater strength, Lord, to give us faith. Oh God, to give us courage, oh Lord, that the devil be rebuked in all his tactics. Oh God, give us peace among all these storms, Lord. Give us faith to go forward, and oh God, to believe you regardless. Give us faith, Lord. Oh God, we just come against all the power of the enemy, Lord, and every false thing that he tries to tell us. I pray, oh God, that he would be rebuked in the name of Jesus, that you give us faith. Oh Lord, that your spirit would move here, Lord, have free course, move in us. Help us, Lord, have your way, Lord. Oh God, have your way in this message. I give it to you in the name of Jesus. I ask, oh Lord, that you'd be here, Lord, for you know what we need as individuals. I pray that you'd work in the mighty name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, help those people, Lord, that we've witnessed to. Oh, God, that we've given tracts and newsletters to, Lord. I pray that there would be a stirring in hearts, Lord. Oh, God, before this is over, I pray that there would be a stirring. Oh, God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that your word, oh, which does not return void. Oh, God, I pray that it would accomplish. Oh, God. Every plan, every purpose that you have designated for it to reach, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Yes, we are blessed to know the living God. We are blessed to have his word, and we're going to open up here tonight. I was in Colossians last week. I taught on the first chapter in the book of Colossians, and I want to go to the second chapter tonight, and I'll just see how the Lord leads, because I don't know, just we live in a world that's, it's gone so astray in so many ways, and here we are at the end of the world. There are problems in the time of the early church, I would say, how much more so now, as we are here at the end of the world. We've seen so many things, and all the time has gone on, and I truly know that it surely does seem that every doctrine in the Bible has been twisted and turned, mistaught and misrepresented, and wow, here we are. But thank the Lord, we've got his word. I am so grateful to God for that. We have so much. And I just thank God that we can open it up here tonight. Ask him to lead us and guide us and to show us what we need to see. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We've been talking about getting ready to meet the King. And yeah, that's, the Lord would have us to get ready. We must get ready. He is going to come. He's going to come. And it's going to be as a thief in the night. And, you know, it's going to be a great necessity that our hearts would be made right and ready at that moment. That we would be watching. That we would be waiting. Oh, yes, for our Lord to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Colossians here. And I just want to say a few things here again as I begin this study here tonight. You know, this book of Colossians, it was written as Paul was prisoner in Rome, very latter part of his life. There's a group of epistles that he wrote at this time. One was the book of Philemon, another the book of Ephesians, and the other is the book of Philippians. And they're all in this classification with these books that he wrote there while he was in Rome. And I want to say here, Paul had not personally ministered to these people at Colossae, from what I can understand. And it seems that while he was there in Rome and he was a prisoner, you know that Epaphras came to him. And, you know, we can just put this together as it seems. I mean, he's not here to talk to at the moment, so I'm surmising. But it seems that there was a problem in that church of Colossae. And also, it seems that Epaphras was also, you know, with the church at Laodicea and the one at Hierapolis. So, you know, he had a great zeal for these churches. But it seems, as we get into the second chapter of the book of Colossians particularly, that we see that some problems had developed. And there were some elements that obviously this minister, Epaphras, was very concerned about. And I'm surmising, as I said, but it seems that he must have sought after Paul and you know, to deal with some of these details and these concerns. And as we go into the second chapter again, we'll see that there was a twist that had, you know, seemed to develop in this church. It was kind of a Judaic Gnostic element, a heresy that seemed to be forming, and definitely a concern here. So we'll just see how this might even relate to us here tonight, because the Lord's help, we want to stay away from heresy. We want to stay away from anything that is not scriptural. And that is a great concern. I know Jude, in his epistle, also expressed that concern. We just read a couple verses here in the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4. It tells us, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And he explains in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So, obviously, he had witnessed some serious problems in his time also. And so it's very impressed upon his heart, obviously, to edify those that he's writing to and telling them to give all diligence, to make a great effort, in other words, to retain the common salvation, that need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And if we're contending for something, that means we're fighting for it. It's something very worthy of a fight. And, you know, this was definitely what Jude felt, you know, as he was writing these words. I think we live in a time when so many don't seem to think that doctrine is all that important. You know, there's certain basic elements, perhaps, that, you know, they would esteem essential, but it just seems like there's an awfully lot of content that seems to be supplementary or, you know, unnecessary in a lot of minds. And the need to be conformed, that doesn't seem to, you know, always be the desire. But, oh, I think there is a great need, especially now. If there was a need back then with the early church to contend for that faith that was once delivered to the saints, how about us now? Well, I think there is a great need indeed that Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, he wrote of it in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, starting with verse 11, as he penned, And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of a body of Christ. And yes, there's a great need for us to go on to perfection. Oh, to be edified. It says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But he says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Oh, Paul also felt it very necessary, oh yes, to talk about the need for the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we become to that perfect man, that mature person in the Lord Jesus, reaching that stature of the fullness of Christ, as he expressed it, and not to be children that are tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, if we believed everything that we heard, then, oh my, we're just a basket case. You know, taking this in and then leaving something else out and going with the wind, so to speak. But no, I believe it's important that we know what the Word of God teaches and that we put it very deep into our hearts and hang on to it, that we buy the truth and we sell it not. We realize the worthiness of this great book, the power of God that comes through the obedience to God's word. Praise the Lord, because God would have his church to be fitly joined together into that one body that he has prepared. Praise the Lord that Holy Ghost runs through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, to edify us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, so that we might all walk in the same way, that we might all know the truth and have it deep into our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, that is quite the goal. That is necessary. And that's why we teach. Oh, that's why, yes, there are some that are apostles, some that are prophets, some that are evangelists, some that are pastors, some that are teachers. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so that we can all come in the unity of faith. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Let's go to the book of Colossians now. And I think just to kind of get a running start, I'm just going to start with Colossians 1 and just kind of review a little bit here by looking at some of this first chapter. We'll start with verse 21 here as we begin here tonight, and to see how the Lord leads. Praise the Lord. Of course, these people here at Colossae had been gloriously saved, and Paul has many complimentary things to say for them. But oh yes, as we all, they had their backgrounds in the world at a former time. And so he writes in verse 21 here in Colossians, the first chapter, "And you that were sometime alienated in enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what this is all about. That's why He died, you know, so that we might be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And then, oh, He goes on to say in verse 23, oh, there's a condition here. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh yes, as you know, as was expressed in the scripture that we just read there, you know, as not being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, as it says in Ephesians, that fourth chapter. Oh yes. Oh, praise the Lord. He wants us to be mature and yes, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. Oh, what the Lord Jesus did for us, how He suffered, how He died. Oh, yes, that He might bring forth His church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul says in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. The wonderful plan of God. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus would come and live on this earth. And then at the appointed time, give up the ghost. But He sent it back, didn't He? Oh yes, the wonderful Holy Ghost, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord, the wonderful Holy Ghost baptism. Praise the Lord, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Yes, that's what this is all about. We're getting ready to meet the King. Praise the Lord. And yes, there's a great need. Oh, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we walk this earth. And that means, oh my, there are some changes that take place within us. Amen. The Lord makes us new creatures in Christ. But oh yes, that's going to mean that there are changes that take place in our thinking. Oh yes. Oh, in our doing, in our dress, in our conduct. All these things, oh yes, there will be changes because we're getting ready to meet the King. And yes, that is the goal, as Paul wrote here, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And verse 29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise the Lord. So yes, there's, oh yes, some of the outlining details that He wanted to give to these dear people at Colossae. But He gets into it a little more in chapter 2. Verse 1 tells us, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. So now He's beginning to address the problem, and He calls it a great conflict. And, you know, I would say that He's expressing a very genuine concern that he had for these people. And you know, we mentioned that the pastor, he's mentioned in the first chapter of Colossians as being Epaphras. And, you know, obviously his concerns, he's obviously shared with Paul. And so anyway, now Paul is writing to this church. And, you know, it's deep. You know, there's a real need. So he's expressing, you know, there's a great conflict I have for you. In other words, there's a great concern. And, you know, it's an effector, anxiety, if you want to take the word figuratively. But, you know, some kind of, you know, problem. But, you know, it's a concern for him. And also, he mentions those at Laodicea. So, obviously, those two churches, Colossae and Laodicea, I believe they were like 12 miles apart as far as distance goes that way. But, you know, obviously they worked together also. And there was a problem in both places. And, yes, they had not seen his face in the flesh. So he had not known them personally at this point. But yet Paul had that burden for the church of the living God. And here you can just, you know, feel that burden that he's expressing in the second chapter of the book of Colossians. Verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. And of course, you know, he had explained it, you know, in that first chapter, you know, because I believe that must have been part of their, you know, struggle at this moment. That first chapter of Colossians, just going over this here, just to have these things clear. Verse 15 here, Colossians 1 says, explaining who Jesus Christ is, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Oh, praise the Lord. He's explaining, yes, God is invisible. God is a spirit. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, Jesus explained. You know, you don't see a spirit. But God, in his great desire to reach the human race, put on flesh and came to this world as a man, Christ Jesus. And therefore, we could explain that he was the image of the invisible God. Oh yes, as a spirit, God wasn't going to be able to die for the people. But when he put on flesh, that flesh could die. And praise the Lord, that was the plan of God. Because on that cross, he was making reconciliation for his people. He was buying us back. Oh yes, so that we could have fellowship with God, so that we could know God, so that we could become the children of the living God. Amen. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. And oh yes, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Verse 17 tells us, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. In other words, the very first place. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Oh, he was making reconciliation. Oh, yes, that his children might be brought to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So back here in Colossians 2, yes, he's referring to, you know, the situation there at hand. And he's talking about our God who put on flesh and the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh, there's no need to look elsewhere. It's all in Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even Martin Luther made that comment that we should start our journey to find God with Jesus Christ and end it there. Praise the Lord. And verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Oh, we recall how that old serpent, oh, in the very beginning, oh, there came to beguile Eve. And enticed her and tricked her and made her do something that she never, you know, I doubt that she'd ever even thought of doing before. But, you know, he beguiled her. He allured her. He enticed her so that, you know, she went forth and took of that tree and then gave it to her husband, Adam. Therefore, sin entered into the world. Oh, that serpent, the devil, still works his plan to try to entice people. And he comes forth with enticing words, words that are alluring or attractive, you know, pleasing in such a way that, you know, if we're not on guard, if we don't know God's word, we might be taken in by that allurement. So here it seems that this church at Colossae had some beguilement that was going on. There were some definite concerns. Paul is addressing those, and yes, he's warning them. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So yes, those things he was seeing and beholding and rejoicing. Oh yes, they had received the gospel. They had embraced it. They had believed and yes, gone forth to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism after they had repented. They had been filled with the Holy Ghost. So, yes, there were good things that they had done. And those are points that could be rejoiced over. So he goes on, though, because, again, you know, there are conflicts, there are concerns. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And we walk in him by being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord, you know. We know that we come to the Lord as a newborn babe. Obviously, there's a lot that we're not going to know at the first. There's a lot of need for teaching at the first, for, you know, learning to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're a disciple, then we're under a discipline. And praise the Lord, you know, we're not to be ignorant of it. It should become a part of our thinking, of our lives, something that we embrace with all our hearts. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior, as our King. We obey the gospel in doing so. And we walk in Him. But see, we become rooted and built up in Him. and established in the faith. It isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to take, you know, some teaching. It takes some yielding our hearts to the Lord, learning to surrender our mind, our emotions, our will over to the Lord Jesus. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as Paul wrote to the people that he was addressing in his epistle. Amen. So yes, in abounding, in other words, thriving therein with thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord hears that thankful spirit. Oh, that individual who has learned to give thanks. No matter what the setbacks of the situations, oh, there is so much in learning to give thanksgiving to the Lord, to, you know, even when we can't understand what is going on. There's something powerful about being able to give thanksgiving to the Lord, no matter what the situations are. As we continue in this chapter, we see some of the concerns are being addressed here in verse 8. Verse 8 tells us, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. All those things that tend to creep in. And here there is a need. He begins with a beware in verse 8. Those philosophies, those vain teachings that, you know, may appeal to the flesh and sound good if we don't look deeply, if we don't bring it to the Lord. There's a warning here. Yes, you could be spoiled. You can be ruined. You can be taken in by man's philosophies and vain deceit. And he mentions after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, the fundamental principles of this world, things that are almost naturally embraced quite often, you know, and this can happen. If you don't stay in God's word, if you don't keep down on your knees, you know, very easily, you know, all these things, traditions, even from one's past, traditions that are typical to your area, and all of these things, you know, can take root and spoil you. And pretty soon, if you haven't given heed to the Word of God, if you haven't allowed the Word of God to grow in you and mature you, then, oh my, philosophies of men, traditions of men, rudiments of the world can take over in your heart. It's so easy, you know, you start comparing yourself to somebody else. Oh, that's a good fellow over there, you know, he does well, you know, I don't think, he's lost. I mean, you know, we can assume a lot of things if we don't stay in God's word. And, you know, it's so easy, yeah, because, you know, pretty soon, again, that could be our thinking. So, yes, there's a beware here. And, yes, it's explained in verse 9. For in him, talking about the Lord Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10 tells us, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Well, that's quite the thought there. You know, if we are complete in the Lord Jesus, then, oh my, what else do we need? Seems like our God is able to take care of all aspects, all needs, all of our thinking, if we could just learn to give it over to Him. Oh yes, that body that the Lord Jesus put on, that in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And thank the Lord, it tells us clearly, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Well, that's quite the thought in itself. We don't have to go elsewhere than to find completion. It's found in the Lord Jesus, in His Word, by putting on Christ, by being His disciple. Let's go for the moment to the book of John, the 15th chapter. I believe that goes along with this thought of being complete in Christ. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 15, Jesus said in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It seems that purging is essential for us to bear fruit. And that is the great desire, that we would be fruitful as children of the living God. Amen. So it's explained here that, yes, God allows us to be purged so that we might bear forth fruit, and even more fruit. Amen. Verse 3 here in John 15. Now ye are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. And here is how we stay in Christ. Tells us in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, that process. But we must abide in the vine. Amen. We cannot bear fruit of ourselves. And we get into vain philosophies and traditions of men. Oh, we're not abiding in the Lord Jesus, therefore. And we're not going to bear fruit. That is true. Amen. But praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 10 again, and ye are complete in Him. Verse 10 here in Colossians, the second chapter. Ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11 explains, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh for the circumcision of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Under the law, it was essential that they be circumcised. If they didn't go through that physical rite, then they had no part in God. They were, you know, they were not to be allowed even. It was extremely essential for all males to be circumcised. But here under the new covenant, Paul writes to this church at Colossae, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands. And this is how he describes it, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, that's repentance. That's dying out to the old man. That's giving our life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's submitting our hearts, our minds over to God. Amen. It's how we put off the body, the sins of the flesh. We repent from our past and all those evil deeds. And yes, with the help of the Lord, resolving that we're not going to walk that road anymore. We're not going to go that route. We've turned from those ways. We put off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And then beyond that, it tells us in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that great privilege of going down in the waters of baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, identifying with him in those waters, being buried with him in those waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. Going down, indicating that we have died out to the old man, that we have died out to our sins. Oh, yes. And believing that, oh, yes, we will be raised up again. Oh, praise the Lord, raised up to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. So we go down into the water and come back up, ready to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, with the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And yes, if you don't get it in the waters of baptism, then, oh, believe God that it will come forth shortly thereafter. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our God is so good. I was thankful we could go about. I had a wonderful conversation with Sister Brenda, and, you know, I hadn't really heard her testimony before, and she was just telling me how when she became to know the Lord, that she was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And although she really didn't have great understanding at that moment, she came up out of that water. She was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. But praise God, we're talking about being buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord, believing God that all those sins that we've committed unto him against that day are forever buried in that sea of forgetfulness. Oh, no longer retained, no longer with an obligation. Oh, yes, completely forgiven and remitted by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13 tells us, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise the Lord. Oh, we are made alive. The Lord Jesus Christ, those sins are buried in his sea of forgetfulness. Oh, no longer retained as we have identified with him in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. And so quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Oh, yes, those things in the law that, oh, were part of those ordinances that were against us, that were contrary to us, were taken out of the way. And Jesus took our sins upon that cross. They were nailed to his cross, it tells us. And oh, what a wonderful gift, what a joy this is to think that those sins have been blotted out. And not only that, but those handwriting of ordinances that were against us, contrary to us, having been taken out of the way. So yes, we don't have to live with those same restrictions, those codes that were under the law, those rituals. He goes on to say in verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Oh, this is quite a marvelous scripture, actually. Oh, the things that were done at Calvary. Oh, yes, it might have seemed that they had put Jesus to death. But oh my, he was going to be risen again. Oh, he was going to rise again. Amen. He was going to have power over that death. And in that interim, there were things that were being done in the spiritual realm. Oh, he was going forth. He was spoiling the devil's dominion. He was triumphing over the devil's power. There was a display. Oh, yes, as Jesus triumphed over the principalities and powers of the devil, there was a show of them openly. Oh, we couldn't see it with our eyes, but in the spiritual realm, great things happened. Thank the Lord. Oh, yes, and therefore the Lord has given his church power and authority. The devil is bound because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Praise the Lord, he doesn't have access to the heavens any longer. He is no longer the accuser. He has been bound. And we can bind him, as it tells us in Matthew 18, verse 18. Oh, yes, where it is told us, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise the Lord. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful feats of Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. There are people that live in fear, in paranoia. Oh, in trouble. Oh, my. Just thinking, oh, that we have to, you know, fear the devil. Well, God has given us authority over him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. Luke 11, verse 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Verse 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusteth and divideth his spoils. That is what Jesus was doing, yes. Oh, yes, when he went to the cross and gave up the ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. He was taking the devil's armor away from him. Oh, yes, that in which he trusted, it was taken from him. His spoils were divided. And oh, my, oh, that process began so that the church of the living God could have authority and power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, knowing that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a price was paid at Calvary. Oh, what a gift was given. Praise the Lord. And we can say, as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. God has given His church power and authority. Oh, yes, we don't have to tremble in fear and worry about what evil may befall us. We're in God's hands. Oh, praise the Lord. They might plot, they might plan, they might have, you know, all these things that they're conniving. But God knows how to help us. I know I was on a walk a couple weeks ago and just kind of down the block from me, and they kind of went a different route this time, where there were some children playing in the street. And I didn't think too much of it. I was just going to, you know, say something nice to them, I thought, and, you know, pass on through, and, you know. But I don't know, as I was walking there, even on the sidewalk, this one young guy came running at me. And I don't know what he was going to do. I could just kind of see his face. It almost felt like he was going to tackle me or something. You know, I thank God he stopped short. And I was able to pass on through and say my few little words to these children and go forth. I just thank God. We don't know how many times he has kept us. Oh, how many times we might have been in great trouble. Maybe the enemy had plotted and planned and had devised all this evil against us. But God has given us authority and power. We can rebuke the devil and know that he will flee. We can tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Praise the Lord. And know that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that's right. The devil is bound to the church of the living God. You know, even Balaam, when he tried to curse Israel in the book of Numbers, found out that you cannot curse that which God hath blessed. Oh, Balak. Oh, that king that had hired him to curse the children of Israel found out, oh, he tried three times. Oh, man, he had, you know, seven altars with sacrifices, oxen and ram on every altar sacrificed. And, you know, with the hopes that Balaam could curse the children of Israel. But all Balaam could say, verse 7 here in Numbers 23, and he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me Jacob, and come defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Oh my, you know, Balak had him try it again. Oh yes, but oh my, there is no way God was going to allow Balaam to curse his people. And it's so interesting. Oh my. It says in verse 19 here, this 23rd chapter of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord when we're walking with the Lord. We have power. We have strength. And oh my, there is no enchantment nor divination. Oh, against God's people. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We have power over the enemy. Oh, in the sight of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful testimony that he has given us. Sad to say, sin will destroy the people of God. And in the 25th chapter of Numbers, the people of Israel were enticed by the woman, the women of Moab, and committed whoredom with them. And therefore, they lost their strength. They lost their power, all because of sin. But if we're walking with the Lord, we're standing on his word. Oh, yes, if we're striving to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're walking in faith, then, oh, yes, we can go forward and we can have great victory over the enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can bind those entities that try to come against us. We can rebuke them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, we can loose that which needs to be loosened. Oh, yes, from the ties of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I don't think we quite grasp the authority that the Lord Jesus has given to his body, the church of the living God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. So back here in Colossians, verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And therefore, oh, there's no need to go back to the old ways. Verse 16 tells us, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And here it's explained in verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Yes, those things were for that time period, that dispensation under the law. But praise the Lord, it tells us clearly those things were a shadow of that which was to come. The new covenant, that body which was of Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So we are not to be judged by meat or drink, or in respect to a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, it tells us here, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And then he goes on to tell them in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if he be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and in humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So it seems that this church at Colossae had sort of gotten into some kind of thing where, you know, there's a kind of a combination of, you know, Judaism, and some kind of Gnostic heresies where they've embraced, you know, things that, you know, obviously came upon them. Somehow, you know, somebody brought them in, and you know, they were not strong enough to realize that It was a beguiling of the devil. But the devil was using such things to beguile them, and so they had gotten into, you know, this position that brought great concern to Paul when he heard of it, and therefore he's writing this epistle to help these people to realize all the glorious gospel, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that already had been done, that we would not go back to the things of the world, the elements of the world, that we would not be spoiled through philosophy of men, or vain deceit, the traditions of men, the rudiments of this world, and you know, practices that were no longer a part of the New Testament. Praise the Lord. And practices, obviously there's something here that was pertaining to some kind of worship of angels, I would say, from this description. And obviously they lacked the understanding of Jesus' authority, his divinity, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. That's why there's emphasis in that first chapter that he was the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You know, and you know, before him, you know, he's before all things. And by him all things consist. It pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. And yes, he made peace. Oh, through the blood of his cross, so that we could be reconciled to him. You see, this church somehow had missed some of these very vital points. And they were beguiled, it seems. They were getting into this other doctrine that was taking them away from the Lord Jesus Christ, coming in to, you know, confuse them and to hinder them, to take them away from the precious doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we live in a time when so many things have entered in that could possibly beguile people. We've seen so many be hindered by practices and teachings that are not scriptural, by the acceptance of elements, even Jewish elements, that, oh my, would take us, that would hinder us, that would take us back to a place that we've been set free from. But thank the Lord, we have his word. You know, it seemed like, yes, these concerns were genuine. There was a need here. Because, you know, the devil, he is sly. And that's why we must know God's word to the best of our ability. We must hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God. Oh, we must walk in his ways. Oh, we so desperately need his salvation. We need the gift of the Holy Ghost so that we would not be hindered for living in the last time. And oh my, if we ever needed to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, we need to do it right now. Oh yes, we need to be given over to the truths of God's word. We don't want to fall at such a time as this. We see the end of all things coming to pass. Oh, when we need the Lord more than ever before. Oh, praise the Lord. But we must realize, yes, Jesus Christ is the head. Praise the Lord, as it tells us in verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Oh, his spirit that flows through the body, the people of the Lord Jesus Christ who have been redeemed. Praise the Lord, who have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gift we've been given, this salvation. As I get ready to close here, let's go to Ephesians. the second chapter here, and just want to read a small portion of scripture that I believe relates to this necessity. Oh yes, to esteem the Lord Jesus as he is. Oh yes, to esteem God's word. Oh yes, to hide it in our hearts and to treasure it. It is a great treasure. And oh yes, if we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, if we've been redeemed, oh praise the Lord, then we're all part of the body of Jesus Christ. And here it's described, Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord when it works together, when it flows together. Praise the Lord, that oil of the Holy Ghost flows through God's people. Praise the Lord to bring us together. Oh yes, so that we can comprehend all the greatness of our Lord, the depths of his word, all the things that he would have us to understand as his children. Praise the Lord. That great desire, yes, that we would all be built together for a habitation. In other words, a dwelling place of God through his Spirit. Oh, what a plan. God Almighty, come to this earth. Oh, yes. To bring salvation to those that were lost, to people that didn't know him, to people that did not have access to God. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ came to bring us access to God. Oh yes, that we might be built together, framed together, growing together as a holy temple in the Lord. Each of us being a member, each of us being a part. Oh yes, all of us being joint heirs with Christ. So yes, that Spirit of the living God flows through his people. Praise the Lord. So we can grow together as a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost with which he puts within us. Oh, praise the Lord, that we might be his temple, that we might be his habitation, his dwelling place. Praise the Lord, he puts his Spirit within his people. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a gift we've been given. And oh, yes, we want to make sure that nothing would beguile us with enticing words, but that we take heed to the things that are written, that we put the things that are written in this book of life in our hearts, giving heed. Oh, yes, so that we might be counted worthy to stand before him. Praise the Lord. That we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As Peter wrote as he ended his second epistle, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord for what he's done. Oh, yes, to make it possible that we would have access to God, that we'd be reconciled to God so that we could have fellowship with God, that Holy Ghost could flow through our beings, and we could all be part of the temple of the living God. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's make sure that we are never spoiled through philosophy or vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He knows how to take care of every need. Praise the Lord. We are complete in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Complete in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would talk to us. I pray that you would move in us. I pray that you would encourage your people. Oh God, put it deep in our hearts. Oh God, put that love of the truth deep in our beings, Lord. Oh God, that we would not listen to false teachings, false philosophies. Oh God, deceits, oh Lord, of all kinds. Oh Lord, I pray, oh God, that you'd give us that strength, that discernment. Oh Lord, that we might, oh Lord, know thee, Lord. Oh God, and grow to that man, that woman in thee, oh Lord. Oh God, that reaches that point of maturity that we can be fit in thee, Lord. Oh God, that we can rule and reign with thee for all eternity. Oh God, help us, work in us, talk to us. Oh God, make us fit, oh Lord, join heirs with Christ, part of the temple of the living God, a habitation through thy Spirit. Oh Lord, work in us, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our melodies of praise hymnals to number 7 and sing Let the Holy Ghost Come In, number 7.
Would you be redeemed from every inbred sin? Hath the Holy Spirit constantly within? Make the consecration, trust in God and men. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Spirit in your heart to cheer, would you be relieved from every doubt and fear? Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you want the fire of God to fill your soul? Burn up all the dross and sanctify the whole. Make the consecration, trust in God, and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Do you want the power to make you true and brave, so that you can rescue those that Christ would save? Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Let the Holy Ghost come in. Make the consecration, trust in God and then let the Holy Ghost come in.
Bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe. Pray.